Okay. Welcome, everyone. So just to start off, I'm supposed to announce that the beginner's class to meditation is next door. So if anyone is here for the beginner's class, it's actually the room next door on this side over here, I think. This, okay, very good. I'm glad I said something. Okay. Excellent. Okay. So, as usual, I'm going to say a few words about meditation practice, and afterwards we can try it out in practice. And I'm just going to expand a little bit, or basically touch on one of the things I was talking about yesterday when I talked about meditation. And this is really about how to use, if you like, right view or straight view to support your meditation practice. This is one of the factors of Satipatthana practice, which is things like mindfulness of breathing or just being aware of the present moment. One of the factors to make it work is actually having right view about things. It supports the practice. And it is surprising how easy it can be to do this. It is all about how we look at the world, how we deal with kind of the impressions that we have of the world around us. And if we do that in the right way, it can become very supportive in helping us to let go of things. And of course, one of the important parts of meditation practice is precisely to let go. Well, the Buddha says that, you know, you let go of the past and the future to be able to stay in the present moment. It's easy to say, but sometimes not so hard to achieve. And the reasons why it's hard to achieve is because we have some vested interest in the world, things that we hold on to. And because we hold on to those things, we think about them. So one of the powerful ways of dealing with this, and this is part of right view on the Buddhist path, is just to learn to think about the world in the right way. And this can be done very simply. One of the things I was talking about yesterday is just the idea when, you know, you look at the world outside, you look at what is happening politically around the world, you look at the environment, you look at all the refugees and the wars and all these things going on. Every time you look at the news, you know, you obviously see this kind of stuff. And sometimes you feel like the whole thing is just kind of so unreliable, so uncertain. We have no idea where things are heading. We do our own little bit to kind of support the world to the best of our ability, but we also realize that into a large part the world is out of control. And we have no idea where it's going to go next. And it could go really bad, it could go neutral, it could go good. Well, who knows, but right now the outlook isn't all that great, to be honest, at least from my personal perspective. So how do we deal with that when you look at the world in this way? And you know, the very common way of dealing with that for people, or rather lack of dealing with it, is to get kind of sad or depressed about things and feeling that everything is going wrong. But that is not a very useful approach or a very useful way of dealing with this, or lack of dealing with it. Far better is then to understand that the world really is out of control. It really is problematic. It really is something we can't really do anything about. And precisely for that reason, it is worth just kind of letting it all go, rejecting it all, not having anything to do with it, feeling the sense of being fed up with the whole world precisely because of its uncertainty. And this is what right view in Buddhism is really about. Yeah, the sense that this is really what impermanence and suffering is about to a very large extent. The idea that things cannot be under our control. And once you turn things around in that way, yeah, it means that you suddenly, instead of taking refuge in that world, thinking the world is going in a certain direction and then despairing if it doesn't, you take refuge within yourself, within the practice of Satipatthana, the practice of meditation, within the deep states of meditation, whatever it is, because that is where you have some degree of say in what is happening. You turn it inwards instead. And when you look at the world that way, it is actually much easier to let go of the whole thing. Suddenly, future and past become irrelevant, especially the future becomes irrelevant if the world is so unreliable. You're not really interested in that anymore. You don't care about what's going to happen in the future, and you focus on your spiritual practice instead. So you can turn kind of what looks like a despairing thing into something very positive. And all you want to do is draw within yourself, draw into yourself, and leave the whole world outside, and then let it all go as a consequence. So these perceptions can be very useful, and if you use them wisely, they can actually really be very powerful. But again, these are things that you have to develop, not just in like one meditation, one off. These are ideas that you need to kind of build up a little bit, focus on them over time. And then as you do so, you take them into your meditation practice and they start to have a certain power on how you perceive things. And then you will find that if you do that, you find that your meditation deepens as a consequence. And the Buddha actually did speak about this particular perception directly in the suttas. There's a particular type of perception called the perception of non-delight in the entire world. Where you see that the entire world is out of control. So you just withdraw from all of that. You allow it to be here. And you go inside of yourself instead to find meaning, purpose, and a degree of control over what you experience. Okay, let's try it out and do some meditation together here. As always, I recommend you to start the meditation in roughly the same way every time. Just learning to be at ease, learning to relax, and learning just to get into the joy of just sitting there and doing nothing else. And if you do this every time, you get into a nice routine. And sometimes you can do it faster, sometimes more slowly, depending on what your mind is like on any particular day. It's good to go through roughly the same stages because as you do so, you ensure that everything is right and you ensure that you are prepared for moving forward. and try to feel just how nice it is to take some time out from being the agent who always does things and thinks and concocts and creates things, and for a while just to be the knower, just the one who is aware and knows what is happening, but no agency, and just feel that sense of rest that comes with that, and also how that allows things to slowly die down and become peaceful. So learn how to be that passive observer, and learn to see the delight in that very simple way of being.
And now, if you wish, just very gently remind yourself that the world outside is inherently unstable and unsatisfactory. You never know where it's going to go. It is out of control. There is no refuge to be had in that world. So turn away from that and turn inside instead, where there is a real refuge according to the Buddha. Because this is where you can develop yourself and move forward. So reject the world outside and move inwards instead, and allow your meditation to develop from there. And usually in this process there comes a point when you almost automatically, with your breath or whatever meditation object you choose to use, remember that the attitude you have is the most significant thing. So if you want to do the breath meditation, allow yourself to have a positive attitude towards the breath, like an old friend that you're walking on this very meaningful path of meditation together with her. And as an old friend, you don't control the breath, you allow it to be. You have this feather-like touch, and you move forward together in a positive sense on this path. And now we're getting very close to the end of the meditation. But before we come to the very end, I would recommend you, as always, to take just a few moments to review the progress you have made. So if you do feel a bit more peaceful, a bit more whatever positive state has arisen inside of you, ask yourself why that is the case. Ask yourself how this process works, what it means to let go, what it means to change your perceptions, etc. Okay, so that's the end of the meditation, so please sit comfortably here. And if you have any questions or comments, now is the time to, good time to ask you. Okay, does anyone have any comments or questions? Anything you'd like to say? Everyone is okay here? Okay, good. So, we have a few questions from overseas, from outside of the center here. So let's see what they have to say, if everyone here is okay. And that's okay. Yeah, go here. Thank you. Okay. So the number one is from Portugal, and the question is as follows. I want to ask you about the position for meditation. It is uncomfortable a lot of the time. Is there an important reason why we should meditate sitting like this instead of lying down, for example? And the answer is no, there's no particular reason. One of the things I was talking about yesterday is that the ideal position for meditation is really a position where the body sort of disappears. The body isn't the problem anymore. If the body is a problem, then often the mind will go to the body and it will be distracted by the pain or the problem or whatever. So any position is okay, as long as you kind of feel, you know, at ease and comfortable or whatever. The reason why we tend to sit cross-legged is because that is the tradition, yeah? That's how they sat at the time of the Buddha. So kind of just following along with that. And if you are used to it, it's quite comfortable. Yeah, I would certainly recommend it. If it is easy for you, I would recommend it because it is a nice and steady posture. And you feel quite, it feels quite natural in many ways. But there's absolutely no compulsion to use that posture. You can sit on a chair. You can lean against the wall. You can even lie down if you wish. But if you're going to lie down, don't do it on a very soft surface, because then you might get kind of, your mind tends to go towards indulgence. Lie down on something which is fairly fairly firm, yeah, like a very thin mattress or just on the carpet or whatever like that. And if your mindfulness is good, you should be able to sustain mindfulness even lying down. I know some people who've had lots of success in meditation by lying down, like lying on your back, for example, might be a good way of doing it. So really, it is up to you. There are these little meditation benches and meditation stools that people use. Whatever is required is really what you should use. The idea is to get rid of the body. So if you have pain, as you say, then probably you may want to find a different position for yourself. Okay, second question. From the USA, there are schools of Buddhism in which part of meditation is staying present in the world, even monastics spending portions of their lives, same as lay people. What are your thoughts? Yes, Buddhism is really
even as a monastic, the idea is that we live a life which is kind of a combination of seclusion and a combination of being part of the world, whereby you provide services and teachings and these kind of things. And it's a very good balance, I find. In Christianity, they make a distinction between the priests who are teachers and the monastics who are completely secluded. But in Buddhism, we combine the two. So it's great. And of course, the idea, part of the idea here is that if you provide services, yeah, for the world at large, or you live a good life and all these kind of things, it always feeds back into your meditation afterwards. It's actually very good support for meditation. Sometimes if you go off into the jungle just by yourself and meditate, you don't make any progress. And the reason is because you're not actually adding those basic qualities that are needed for getting joy and happiness in a meditation practice. Kindness, service, yeah? These things are supportive for the meditation practice. So often that balance is very important. I definitely, whether you are a lay person or a monastic, take periods on retreat, do a little bit of meditation every day if you can, but also do good things in the world. Yeah, that's also very important. So both. And then you have a very balanced kind of approach to the spiritual life. There may come a point down the track where your meditation has gone incredibly well. That is a time to kind of withdraw into absolute seclusion. But really, it should be going really, really, really well before you do that. Okay. Question number 3 is from Germany here. I fear to let go of everything and let things happen. And notice that the problem is this I. Can I do anything about that? It's alike in meditation and daily life. Okay, so in a sense, I suppose the I here is that you identify with doing. You are the doer in your life. And because you identify with doing, it's difficult for you to let go and just allow things to be. Yeah, because it's fearful if you identify with a doer. To let go of that is like you are letting go of yourself. And that's obviously going to be problematic because it's part of your identity. So you have to gradually learn to see that when you reduce the doing in your life, actually it feels better. It feels more peaceful. It feels more at ease the less you do. And the more you're able to see that doing actually is a problem, once you start to see that, it becomes easier to let go. So it's a stage-wise process, yeah? Gradual letting go of this. But also it is about building up a sense of purpose and meaning in other aspects of your life. Yeah? Finding meaning in the spiritual path, finding meaning in just kindness and generosity and these kind of things. And as you do that, your identification with doing becomes less, and your identification with goodness, if you like, yeah, becomes more. And that is where you find your sense of identity, in a sense. So do it gradually. You don't expect kind of miracles or things to happen very fast on this path. It is always a gradual thing. And as you do that, I guarantee you will eventually be able to overcome it. It may look hard now, but down the track it will seem very obvious what you're doing. So keep at it. Perseverance is the most important thing. And then you will find the path as you weave you through this Eightfold Path and moving towards all the things that make life meaningful and purposeful. Okay, that's all for now. So let's just pay respect to the Buddha Sangha.